Part 3. Imperium. Chapter 14. With the death of Lord Sartana, the Knights of Lupus ceased to exist. Their last knights were hunted down in the gloomy, abandoned corridors of their shattered keep, and slain. No mercy was offered, and none expected, for the defeated knights knew that there was no going back from what they'd done. The banners of the Order flew from the tallest towers of the fortress, and the fires of battle reflected from the gold and crimson woven into their ragged fabrics. Swords banged on shields, and the Ravenwing cavalry rode whooping circuits around the broken walls of the mountain fortress. Cheers and honours were exchanged by the warriors of the Order, and a momentous sense of history stole over each man as the realization of the closeness of their objective sank in. With the Knights of Lupus destroyed, the North Wilds were open to the Order, and the very last of the beasts could be hunted to extinction. Zahariel watched as the fortress of the Knights of Lupus crumbled, its walls and keep pulverized by the massed cannons of the Order. No honour was to be accorded to the fallen enemy knights, their corpses and effects gathered in the main keep and put to the torch. The Lion had marched into the Great Library to find Zahariel and Nemiel with Lord Sartana's body, and he had congratulated them both before turning his attention to the great volumes collected within the massive chamber. After a cursory glance through several of the tomes gathered by Lord Sartana, the Lion had ordered them to rejoin their sword line and had busied himself with further exploration of his defeated foe's collection. Entire wagon trains carried the books and scrolls back to Alderuk for further study. Zahariel turned from the burning fortress, saddened to see such a mighty edifice cast down, and wondering if all battles ended with this strange mix of emotions. He had survived and acquitted himself with honour, fought bravely, and helped in the final victory. He had seen history take shape and had witnessed the death of their greatest enemy, yet still there was a nagging sense of things undone and of opportunities missed. Sahadariel was alive and would live to fight another day, as had many of his sword line. The butcher's bill was steep, but not so steep as to render the victory sour, and already the loss of so many friends and comrades was being overshadowed by the glories won. In the weeks of marching back to Alderuk, the infamy of the Knights of Lupus would be magnified tenfold, their villainies growing from deliberate capture of beasts to vile experiments and corruption of the soul. By the time the Order's warriors had returned home, their enemies had been turned into the vilest monsters, corrupt and beyond redemption. It had been a good and necessary war, the knights agreed, a war that had achieved great things and had brought the freedom of all Caliban that much closer. Yet amid the celebrations and honours bestowed, Zahariel could not forget the moment in the Circle Chamber when Lion L. Johnson had goaded Lord Sartana to war, the moment that war had been thrust upon them. Yes, the Order's campaign was on the verge of ultimate glory, but had its integrity been tainted at the last? Had blood been shed in this battle for less than noble ideals? Zahariel worried about such things on the ride back, unable to articulate his feelings even to those closest to him. He watched his brothers celebrate their great victory, and a shadow fell upon his heart as he watched the Lion revel in the honours heaped upon him for this latest victory. Only one other in the Order appeared to bear such misgivings, and Zahariel would often catch Luther riding alongside his brother and catch a hint of that same shadow in his smile and a chip of ice in the corner of his eye. If Luther sensed Zahariel's scrutiny, he made no mention of it, but the journey back to Alderuk was melancholy for him, his achievements during the battle overshadowed by the Lion's feats of arms. Zahariel and Nemiel's defeat of the beast in the courtyard brought them both honours, and each was rewarded with scrolls upon their armour to commemorate the deed. Nemiel had been overjoyed, and Zahariel had been pleased, but each time he thought back to the fight, he wondered why the strange powers that had manifested in the forests of Endriago had not reappeared. Perhaps it was as he had suspected, that it had been his proximity to the dark heart of the wood, or the watchers that had awakened some latent ability within him that now lay dormant. Or perhaps he had imagined it all, and his mind had conjured some elaborate fantasy in the wake of his terrible struggle to explain how he had defeated the great beast. Whatever the reason, he was glad that what had happened seemed now to be a distant memory, becoming less tangible with every passing day. He vividly remembered the beast's death, but the specifics of that day, before he had fought it, were becoming hazier in his mind, as though a grey mist had descended upon his memory. Life went on much as before with the Knights of the Order, and Zahariel's unease began to unwind, as Lord Sartana's dying warning seemed increasingly like the groundless mutterings of a frustrated foe. Hunts were organised, and each day knights would ride into the forests to clear out the last pockets of beasts. Each day brought fewer and fewer beast trophies, and it seemed as though the completion of the lion's grand vision had finally been achieved. The lion ventured into the forests only rarely these days, spending most of his time locked in the tallest towers of Aldaruk with the books taken from the fortress of the Knights of Lupus. Eliath and Attias both fought and defeated their own beasts and ascended to the rank of knight, a day that brought much celebration to the halls of the Order. All four boys fought together in Sar-Hadariel's swordline, venturing out into the forests time and time again to fight the planet's predators and hopefully encounter one of the few remaining beasts. Ravenwing scouts brought word that each section of the North Wilds had been cleared, and Zahariel had scoured their missives for word of the dark forests around Endriago for any sign of the malaise that had engulfed him during his hunt for the great lion, but whatever he had encountered in the depths of the forest appeared to have vanished. Perhaps it had never existed, and try as he might, he could conjure no solid recollection of the words spoken to him in the forest, nor any cogent memory of those who had spoken them. The world of Caliban still turned. Life went on as before, and the Knights of the Order moved closer to ultimate domination, until the angels arrived. Light dappled the leaves of the high branches and spread a glittering shadow play on the ground before the horses as the group of riders made their way along the paths of the forest. The air was fragrant, rich with the promise of balmy days and peace. Zahariel held the reins loosely in his hands, letting the black horse set its own pace, and relaxed back into his saddle. The forests were no longer places of fear and horror to the Knights of the Order. They were magical places of light and adventure. Fresh paths were being cut through them, revealing landscapes of unearthly beauty and natural majesty that had previously been denied to the populace of Caliban, thanks to the presence of the beasts. Now, with the defeat of the lurking monsters in the darkness, their world was theirs for the taking. Beside him, Nemiel removed his helm and ran a hand through his hair, and Zahariel smiled at his cousin, glad to have him with him on this momentous ride. Sir Luther had sent for them that morning, summoning them to the stables to select the finest mounts to ride on this, the last of the beast hunts. The lion had been animated, eager to be on the last hunt to see its completion, as though a fierce imperative burned in his breast that even he did not understand. The opening portions of the ride had been made in relaxed, comfortable silence, each warrior content to enjoy the beauty of their world, now that it was theirs to call their own. The lion and Luther led them as they rode unerringly northwards, skirting settlements that were pushing further out from Aldaruk, now that the beasts had been exterminated. The new Lord Cypher followed a discreet distance behind them, the role filled by a fresh, nameless warrior. Contrary to most people's expectations, Master Ramiel had not been selected to take the previous Lord Cypher's position, though who had was, of course, a mystery. A number of new knights and even a number of supplicants brought up the rear so that the procession was a truly representative slice of the Order's members. "A strange group to lead into the wilds, don't you think?" asked Nemiel. "I suppose," replied Zahariel. "Perhaps the lion wants this last hunt attended by men from all ranks of the Order, not just the senior members."
"You think we're senior members?"
"No," said Zahariel. "I think we're up-and-coming youngsters, who will soon make our mark on the Order."
"You have already done that, young Zahariel," said the lion from the front of the column. "Remember, my hearing is very acute. You are here because of the brotherhood we share."
"Yes, my lord," said Zahariel, following the lion as he rode into a wide clearing before a great cliff of glittering white stone that reared up on their left. Tumbling waterfalls plunged from its top in a cascade to foam in a wide pool of churning water. Vibrant greenery stretched in all directions, and Zahariel felt peace spread through him, unaware of how empty his soul had become until it was filled.
"Yes, this is the place," said the lion from the front of their procession. The lion turned his horse, the mightiest beast ever bred by the horse masters of Caliban, and addressed his warriors as they rode into the clearing before the waterfall.
"You are all here because, as Zahariel rightly supposes, I desired all ranks of the order to celebrate the conclusion of our mighty endeavor."
Zahariel tried and failed to quell the blush reflex he felt reddening his face at this singling out for praise.
"Caliban is ours," repeated the lion, and Zahariel joined with the others in cheering the Grand Master of the Order's pronouncement. "We have fought and bled for 10 years, brothers, and each of us has seen friends and companions fall along the way," continued Johnson. "But we stand on the threshold of our greatest triumph. Everything we have fought for is within our grasp. We have made no mistakes, and it is ours. This is our triumph."
The lion spread his arms and said,
"A golden age beckons us, my brothers. I have seen it in my dreams, a golden time of new and wondrous things. We stand on the very brink of that age, and..."
Zahariel glanced at Nemiel at the uncharacteristic pause in the lion's speech. Their leader looked off to their left, towards the forest, and Zahariel was seized by fear that they'd been ambushed. Though what manner of foe would dare ambush a warrior as fearsome as the lion? His first suspicion was that the last beast had somehow managed to sneak up on them, or that some rogue survivors of the Knights of Lupus had survived the destruction of their order to come seeking revenge. But as his hand leapt to his sword hilt, Zahariel saw no such threat. Instead, he saw a great bird perched on a stout branch of a tree, its feathers golden and shimmering in the afternoon sunlight. A Calibanite eagle, its plumage vivid and perfect in this setting, regarded the warriors with regal grace, apparently unafraid of the gathering of humans. Such eagles were rare creatures, not dangerous, but regarded as birds of omen by the superstitious of Caliban. The warriors of the group looked from the eagle to the lion, unsure what to make of the bird's sudden appearance. Zahariel felt a shiver travel down his spine as the bird continued to watch them with its strange eyes. He glanced over towards the lion, seeing an expression that spoke of fearful anticipation, a look of foreknowledge, and hope that it had not been misinterpreted.
"I know this," said the lion,
his voice barely more than a whisper. As the lion spoke, a strange wind blew, a hot and urgent ripple of air with an acrid aftertaste, like the tang that hung in the vicinity of the armourer's forge. Zahariel looked up, seeing something huge and dark roar overhead, a massive winged shape with glowing blue coals at its rear. Another passed overhead, and he cried out as the heat from their passing washed over him. The knights circled their mounts, and Zahariel drew his sword as the mighty flying beasts roared overhead once more.
"What are they?"
shouted Zahariel over the din of the roars that filled the clearing.
"I don't know," cried Nemiel. "Great beasts! How can that be? They're all dead." "Apparently not," said Nemiel.
Zahariel glanced over at the lion once more, seeking some sign that what had happened had been expected, but their leader simply sat in his saddle, looking up at the behemoths as they flew over them. Luther was shouting something at the lion, but his words were lost in the screaming roar as one of the giant flying beasts blotted out the sun and hovered above them. Its terrible howls filled Zahariel's senses, and the hot, bitter tang of its odour was almost unbearable. A powerful downdraft scattered leaves and bent the branches of the trees with its force. The eagle took to the air and soared over the great pool at the base of the waterfall, the misting water catching on its wings as it flew, making them shine like beaten gold. Zahariel followed the mighty bird's course and looked up, shielding his eyes from the baleful blue glow on the hovering beast's belly, as a horrific squealing, like metal on metal, built from above.
"Put your weapons away!" shouted Luther as he rode through their number. "Sheathe your swords by the order of the lion!"
Zahariel tore his gaze from the shrieking, stinking beast above them, incredulous that they should put themselves at such a monstrous disadvantage.
"Sir Luther!" he yelled over the noise and wind. "You would leave us unarmed?" "Do it!"
shouted Luther.
"Now!"
Though it violated everything he had been taught, the power of Luther's voice was enough to make him cease his questions and slide his sword home in its scabbard.
"Whatever happens," shouted Luther through the whirling hurricane that surrounded them, "do nothing until the lion acts. Understood?"
Zahariel nodded reluctantly as he heard what sounded like distant shouts from above. Then, amid the noise and confusion, he saw shapes resolving from the howling winds and noise, dark shapes, armoured and descending on wings of fire. Beside him, Luther shielded his eyes and said,
"And the angels of darkness descended on pinions of fire and light, the great and terrible dark angels."
Zahariel recognized the words, having heard the fables of ancient times when the heroic dark angels, mysterious avengers of righteousness, had first fought the beasts of Caliban in the earliest ages of the world. His heart leapt as the first of the fiery angels landed, his armored bulk enormous, the detail of his form obscured by the smoke of his landing. Others landed beside him, until 10 hulking giants stood before the lion's group. Zahariel was immediately struck by the similarity between the giants and the armor of the Order. As the first of the giants took a step forward, he was struck by the similarity in size between him and the lion. Though the lion was taller even than this giant, there was a similarity in scale and proportion that was unmistakable. The fearsome downdraft of air from the great flying beast dissipated the smoke of the giant's arrival, and with its cargo apparently delivered, it moved off. The clearing was suddenly silent, but for the crash of water in the pool behind them. Though there was a fearsome martial power to each of these giants, Zahariel also saw a real sense of awe, a feeling that they had found something precious, with a value they had not previously dared believe. The giant reached up to his helmet, and Zahariel saw that he was armed with a sword and pistol similar in appearance to his own, though of an order of magnitude larger than those employed by the Order. A twist of a catch brought a hiss of escaping air, and the giant lifted clear his helmet, to reveal a startling face of human proportions, though his features were more widely spaced and gigantic than most men's. The face was handsome, and an uncertain smile began to develop as the giant looked upon Lionel Johnson. Curiously, Zahariel felt no fear, his apprehensions fleeing his body at the sight of the giant's face.
"Who are you?" asked the lion. "I am Midris," said the giant, his voice impossibly deep and resonant. He turned to his fellow giants and said, "We are warriors of the First Legion."
"The First Legion?" asked Luther. "Whose First Legion?"
Midris turned to Luther and said,
"The First Legion of the Emperor, Master of Mankind, and Ruler of Terror."